get some scriptures out. 1 Chronicles 17, verses 1 through 4 will be our main verse. Colby, if you'll get that, 1 Chronicles 17, 1 through 4. Will, if you'll read for us, Luke 17 and verse 11. Robert, if you'll get 1 Chronicles 17, 2 through 3. Anthony, if you'll read Hebrews 13, 17. Daniel Swope, if you'll get 1 Chronicles 17, 4. Kenny, if you'll get Proverbs 22 and verse 28. A couple more here. Matt, if you'll get 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10. Then if I can get, John, if you can get 1 Chronicles 17, verse 3. And then if I can get, Casey, get 1 Corinthians 5, 5. Nathan, if you'll get Galatians 5 and verse 9. And then Brian, Matthew 7, 24. Okay, so one of the parts of ministry that men struggle with is the ability to confront people. They struggle with the ability, sometimes it's confronting sin, or they struggle with the ability to confront religious people or convert killers, different things that you have to confront in ministry. So instead of doing it, they leave them in place, trying to avoid conflict, but that makes them struggle in ministry unnecessarily. So, if you are going to be a pastor, you must have the ability to confront people when needed. Okay, your job as a pastor is not to go around confronting people, but when needed. There are some times when this must be done, and in the passage we're going to look at, a prophet by the name of Nathan has the ability to confront, to talk about things, to deal with things, to speak to things, and this is what I want to look at this morning, the ability to confront out of 1 Chronicles 17, verses 1 through 4.
And as David lived in his house, David said to Nathan the prophet, "Look, I live in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of Yahweh is under tent curtains." And Nathan said to David, "Whatever is in your heart, do, for God is with you." And it happened that same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and say to David, my servant, thus says Yahweh, you are not to build a house for me to live in."
Okay, the ability to confront. Let's think firstly about people and problems. Part of the reality of pastoring is with people comes problems. I remember Pastor Wayman Mitchell often saying at the discipleship table or at men's discipleships in rallies and sermons, etc., he would coin this phrase, where there are people, there's going to be problems. In the Old Testament, this is true. You see the children of Israel. They complained about leadership. They complained about God's provision. They complained about lack of protection, whatever it is. There was problems. We see that they sinned. There were issues that Moses had to deal with, that Moses and Aaron had to deal with. You look at the book of Judges, it's the pendulum of we want to live for God. No, we want to rebel and live in sin. No, now we want to live for God again. And it's this pendulum, and you see them each time. They're turning to sin, they're turning to immorality, they're turning to all these different things. With people comes problems. Luke 17 and verse 11.
And it came to pass, he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee.
Good scripture there. what I was looking for is Jesus says that it is impossible that offenses should come, right? So here, there's going to be problems that arise. There's going to be issues that happen, right? People will offend other people. People will be offended. People will cause problems. Some people will inflame those problems. Others will create conflict. People are going to mess up and sin. People are going to complicate things. This is part of ministry. Problems aren't fun, but they're a reality. Confronting and dealing with things also isn't fun, but it's a reality. It comes with the package of leadership. Whether that's you're the pastor of a pioneer church, the pastor of an established work, in a leadership role, with ministry comes dealing with problems. But this is and can be very messy. Right? Sometimes, man, you're dealing with things and, you know, people have a way of getting things really messy. Sometimes this is very emotional, right? You're dealing with things inside. You're dealing with people's emotions sometimes. This can be very vexing, right? You're wrestling through. Sometimes it's vexing because, you know, you're a detective trying to figure out and sort out truth. This can be very draining at times. This can be very consuming, right? As here we're trying to see revival. We're trying to win the world for Jesus, but this is consuming time and mind space and all these different things. So it's important that you are aware of the reality and aware of the need that you will have to navigate and deal with this at different times. Think about Nathan in our passage. Nathan was a prophet for God's people. And at different times, he had to confront and talk to the nation. At different times, he had to confront and talk to his king. It came with ministry, and we could look at any prophet's life and see this truth. So this is people and problems. So let's think secondly about the ability to confront. So one thing we see about Nathan is that he had the ability to do the hard jobs. He had to the ability, number one, to correct what he said. Okay, some men have a hard time with that, and that's a pride issue. But let's read 1 Chronicles 17, 2 through 3.
And Nathan said to David, "Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you." But it happened in the night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in."
Okay, so here, on one hand, Nathan says, "Yeah, God's with you. Do what's in your heart. This is awesome." But God speaks to Nathan, "No, that's not what I want." So Nathan had the ability to go back to David and say, "Actually, this is what God wants. Actually, this is what needs to happen. This is what needs to change." In other words, he had the ability to say what I said was incorrect or wrong, or actually something else needs to happen. I got clarity on this. But that's difficult for some men. They wind up not saying anything, not correcting things, and wind up either losing people or damaging people. Secondly, is that Nathan had the ability to challenge sin. Right? We can look at Nathan is the prophet who challenged David about his immorality, about his murder setup, about concealing and hiding his sin. And again, this is, believe it or not, very difficult for some men to do. To confront sin. To confront and deal with issues of immorality, issues of rebellion. Because maybe they're intimidated. Intimidated by the person, or because it's spiritual. They're intimidated spiritually. They become overwhelmed with fear, or they get imbalanced. Well, you know, it's not that bad, and lean into grace. But this, again, this is going to be damaging. Sometimes it's relationship-based because it's a family member, because it's a friend, because this person is influential, or because they're talented. I've seen pastors leave people in place that were damaging the church, but they're talented. They're gifted, but they have money, right? And they leave things in place. You have to be willing to do this. So, in order to do this well, there has to be some things at work in you. Number one, there has to be a confidence in your calling. Nathan understood something here. He understood that he was God's prophet. He could hear the voice of God. He was in tune with God. God called him to this ministry. God placed that upon him. So what that has to do with is identity. I know what God has called me to do, so I'm going to do what he's called me to do. So this could be for you in your calling, in your ministry. You've been called by God, and that is weighted. But there's some men, they don't have that revelation, right? In this, they get insecure. Well, who am I? Well, you know, I've made mistakes too. Well, what's this going to look like? How's this going to play out? And they don't have all those answers, but they have no confidence now in their calling. Hebrews 13, 17.
Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit.
Okay, they watch out for your soul. Okay, that's weighted. So when you have to do the hard job is because you're watching over someone's soul and you are accountable for it. So to leave things in place, that's damaging to them and you'll be accountable for that. And that's damaging to you, right? So here, Nathan could say, David, go for it. God's with you in this. But God visit Nathan and say, no, I'm not with him on that. Okay, I know who I am in Christ, right? Nathan, I know who I am in God. I know my calling. I've heard from him, so I'm going to go tell him. Right? So this is what we need, a revelation of our calling. Then there needs to be a confidence in God's word. 1 Chronicles 17:4.
Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in.
Okay, thus says the Lord. Go tell David, this is what God says. And if God says it, that means it's the best direction and the wisest plan for life. So, I've dealt with people, you know, and you point something out. No, I'm dealing with this because scripturally, this is why. Biblically, the Bible says, and people go, yeah, but come on, it's 2022. Oh, come on, that's dated. Oh, come on, the fellowship is so. No, this is what God said. You don't have a problem with me or the fellowship. You have a problem with God. You have a problem with his word, right? So this has to be a bit of a revelation that God's word is king for life, right? But there's men who lack this ability. They lack the ability when confronting or dealing with things, again, because you're dealing with spiritual warfare and different factors, but they're missing a revelation of God's truth. That, no, this is what the Bible says. We stand against fornication because it's what the Bible says. We stand against rebellion because it's what the Bible says. We'll come against false doctrine because it's what the Bible says. Right? But this has to be at work in you. Then thirdly, there needs to be a confidence in leadership experience. Proverbs
22:28.
Okay, another translation. Do not move the ancient landmarks that your fathers have set. So, what I'm looking and aiming at here is, it's important, men, when you are dealing with things that need to be confronted, when you identify things that need to be confronted, call your pastor. Call your pastor and get instruction. Get insight. Get understanding. And then, when he tells you something, do it. I can't tell you how many times in ministry I've called Pastor Greg, floated things by him, asked him, how would you handle this? How would you deal with this? Because here, there's leadership experience. There's landmarks that have been set. There are standards that have been set. Right? And they're tested and true. Right? You get guys that's like, yeah, I called my pastor, but I'm not going to do that. So, 52 years of ministry, 3,100 churches worldwide. You can't take his advice for the 10 people you have? That's pride. But I can't tell you how many men do this. In their pride, they begin to move things. Yeah, we don't do Jesus People weddings like Prescott anymore. Yeah, we don't do our concerts like Prescott does anymore. We don't do the service. We don't pull offerings in service anymore. You know, we don't speak in tongues publicly anymore. I wish I could say I was making all of those up. But this is what happened. You begin to move the landmarks. Nathan the prophet, he lived by what he would have had as his Bible, the law. He would have lived by the first five books of the Bible, knowing it's tested, it's true. God's way works best. God is not into what you're doing, David, whether that's the temple or whether that's the whole issue with Bathsheba or whether that's numbering the people, whatever it is. So here we have leadership experience, fellowship vision and understanding, rooted in the Word of God that's been tested and proven. That way works best. That's what I'm going to do. What my pastor said, what my pastor advised. I've heard stories, Pastor Greg say, I told a man, do this this way, resolve it this way. He didn't, and it blew up. He didn't, and he lost people. I don't want that for me. Right? So I'm going to do what my pastor said. So these have to be at work in you. Confidence in your calling, confidence in God's word, confidence in your leadership. So let's close. Let's think about developing the heart of confrontation. This sometimes, guys hear this and it's like the worst idea to have to do that. And it is. It's hard. It's not fun. It is the most challenging, one of the most challenging parts of ministry. Confronting people, dealing with things. Again, you're dealing with spirits, etc. But it comes with the job. You want to be a man of God, this has to be at work in you. So you might not be good at this, but you can develop the ability and the heart for confrontation. Okay, there's a heart connected to this. It's not just war and like, these stinking rebels or these people are... It's not like that at all. Okay, for me personally, I can tell you, this was the last thing I wanted to do. This was a big area right here that hindered me from moving forward in my discipleship. The idea of having to do this is like, that's not for me. But number one, this is how we can get it. Number one, we need to pray for it. Ask God to give you those areas of confidence that I talked about. To give you that ability. Pray for it. God, I see this might be something I'm going to have to do. This is something I need to develop and be better at. Let's read 2 Chronicles 1 and verse 10.
Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours?
Okay, who can judge? That's discernment to decide. So God, I need wisdom and knowledge. This is Solomon. He's asking God for a capacity beyond himself. And what was one of his first tests? Conflict. Conflict between two moms and, you know, she's killed my baby and now they, you know, this whole complicated situation. He's having to figure out truth. He's having to discern. But he prayed, God, help me in this. And God did. God did. We know the story. You know, Solomon's sword and the real mom is revealed, etc. But you can pray for it. That's the point. Secondly, is you need to understand that as pastors, we confront things because it's right. Okay, this is very difficult for some men. Right, especially when you're sitting across, but this isn't fair. But it's right. Or I've put people out for fornication and the girls pray, why would you put someone out when they need the church the most? Well, they were in church sleeping around. So it's not a great effect, obviously, right now. Right? But these are the things. People want to, because it's right. You have to deal with it because it's right. 1 Chronicles 17:3.
But that same night, God said to Nathan, go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord has declared. You are not the one to build a house for me to live in.
Okay, this is what the Lord declared. If God said it, it's right. And that's my confidence. I'm going to stand on that. Right? We can look all throughout. There are things that God said to do, and there are things that God said not to do. There are things that God said, this is how you need to live, and this is how believers do not live. So if God said it, it's right. And I'm going to stand on that. And that goes back a little bit to our revelation in God's truth. Thirdly, then, is we confront from a heart of love. Okay? You do this because you love people. That's why. We deal with things because we want what is best for that individual. We want what is best for them to be able to make heaven their home. That's why we do that. And I tell people, you know, different times, you know, I'm dealing with this. I'm making this decision because I care about you. Because I want you to see the gravity of what you are getting involved with or what you are, where you are headed. It's out of love. 1 Corinthians 5:5.
Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
Okay, this has to do with removal for immorality. And he says, deliver this man to Satan. Why? So that flesh gets destroyed and that he might be saved when it really matters. That's the point. It's out of love. It's done in compassion and because you want them saved. Secondly, you do it because you love the church. You love the church because sin in the church is going to harm it. Rebellion is going to harm it. Immorality is going to harm it. False doctrine is going to harm and influence and impact. Galatians 5:9.
A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough.
Okay, this is now a picture that Paul uses. A little bit of yeast permeates the entire batch of dough. That's in the context of false doctrine. False doctrine wants to spread. Immorality is also used. He uses that same picture for immorality. It wants to spread. So, I'm going to deal with things. I'm going to confront things because I love the church. Because this is going to impact now other people's lives. So, I'm willing to do the hard job. Lastly, then, we do this out of love for the future. the future of the church. I've taken over churches, I've seen churches where things have been left in place. You come in, man, the thing is dying. It's on life support. Right? But why? Because someone wasn't willing to do the hard work. Someone wasn't willing to confront. And when you do, you're doing it because of the future, for those future converts that are going to come in. Right? Why have converts come in and be as carnal as they were in the world? Why have them come in and be as messed up as they were in the world? Right? No, we'll deal with things because we care about those future converts, future disciples. Leaving things in place, discipleship's not active. It's stunted, it's hindered, it's blocked. But because of the future, I'm going to do what's right. Matthew 7:24.
Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock.
Okay, building, this is, Jesus is talking about building your life, but building a life, building a marriage, building a family, building a church on the words of Jesus will preserve it. It's going to resolve it. You'll turn a word. And sometimes that means confronting people, confronting spirits, confronting sin head on. You do that, you'll save a work, you'll redeem it. Or if you're pioneering, build on the right thing. That's something, man, taking over Santa Fe, taking over Rochester especially. Rochester was pioneered by Eric Strutz, built on evangelism the first year he was there. Then Pastor Jeff Day took it over, built it on what we are as a fellowship. And man, coming in and redigging the wells, you know, kind of like finding the foundation again, was easy to build on because it was started right. It matters. All right. That's all I have. Let's open up for some questions on this. Yeah.
So when you were pioneering and you thought, like, I already know, like, an answer or a position to take on a situation, in your mind, though, did you just, like, I'm going to call pastor, say, hey, this is what my approach is, you agree? Is that what you recommend?
Yeah, there is actually interesting, Daniel. There were things that I dealt with, maybe on staff, even that pastor's like, I want you to deal with this or talk to this person, etc. That when I got out, it's like, oh, I did this in Prescott, but I called him, and it was a little bit different on how he advised me. Then I get to Rochester, I call, man, I've done this before, but it was a little bit different. So it's unique because what you develop is discernment, and it's not like, you know, some people like the formula, like, how long should I put someone out for because of this? It's not a formula. That depends on the individual. That's up to them how long it's going to be, right? We're not wardens who give out a sentence. And so it's best, you know, and I learned to develop. Sometimes it was like, I need to call, and I don't know why, but I'm going to. And, oh, it was just a little bit different in some way of how the approach to deal with it was. Not that you didn't deal with it, but your approach. So, yeah, best to call.
And then after you gain, like, a long-term period of experience, is there time then you're not really...
You develop discernment, you know. But I was sensitive, like I said, to, I feel like I need to call, and I'm going to.
Yep. Outside of pastoring, there's times I've heard that's something pastor needs to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Leave that alone or talk to him about that. There's other things that I've heard. You need to just go to them and have a conversation.
Yeah.
How do you know when it's your place appropriately, like, when you're not the pastor?
Yeah, ask your pastor. Yeah, definitely ask your pastor. Because, yeah, sometimes just in getting that counsel I'm feeling like I should. It's like, nah, let me talk to them. Or, yeah, you should. You know, it's best if you're unsure. Devin?
You, at this point, being a disciple, begin to develop the ability to run, obviously, run up to the
people. Sure. Absolutely. I mean, you know, you develop it if someone's talking rebellious, right? If they're speaking things, hey, not here. Right? That's one that doesn't need, insight. No, I'm not going to give ear to that. Let's change the conversation. Or you're not going to talk that way here. Or you get news of immorality, right? You have 24 hours to talk to pastor or I will, right? You're confronting, you're dealing with that, you know? I think even being able to identify convert killers, right? I'm identifying, so how do I confront, pastor, this person? I'm listening to how they're talking to people. And it might be one of those, yeah, talk to them because you have relationship with them, or, yeah, I'll speak to them. But that's a way you're developing kind of that that heart and mentality of confrontation, you know. And, be some ways there. Yeah, Anthony?
Just real quick, would you as a pastor preach against this situation if you, like, obviously not if somebody comes up and talks to you, the next service preach on what they talk to you about? But if you're like, man, I'm feeling like this invasive spirit in the church, would you confront that, hoping people would resolve it at the altar?
Sometimes I want to say this: we don't preach reactively. You know, it's like, oh, people are gossiping like crazy. I need to preach with gossip. But sometimes you do identify there's something hindering. God, give me wisdom, and. Maybe you get inspired in your Bible reading or something to preach again, you know, on immorality or to preach on, you know, guarding the heart, and that can flow into a lot of different places, you know. So you might identify something at work that you might preach on.
So would it be appropriate to ask a pastor and be like, hey, I'm feeling this.
Yeah.
Is this something I should?
Yeah. And so, sometimes that is the case, you know. I was recognizing, we talked about this the other morning, a resistance in church kids getting filled with the Holy Ghost in New York. And when I say church kids, I mean people who grew up in church. They were adults by that point, still in the church, but they could not get filled. But 9 years of their salvation were under a man who was not into the Holy Ghost. So I'm identifying it. So I'm praying, number one. And at times, different times, I feel inspired. I'm going to preach on the Holy Ghost. And yeah, you're in essence confronting that resistance.
Yeah. How much calculation do you give to considering their response before addressing that? Is that something that you're concerned about? Or it's like, you know, we'll just see what happens and then figure it out?
Yeah, so you're meaning the person you're confronting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you do have a feel of what their response is going to be, you know, based on past things that you've dealt with them. And so sometimes, you know, I remember talking to Pastor Greg one time about a rebel and, you know, just expressing, and it's like, man, this is now the third time I'm dealing with them. And he said, yeah, you know, they're going to manifest, so... I recommend you do it, you know, you call them, don't do it at church, don't do it where everyone will see, because they'll make a scene, you know. So you're aware of their response, and then direction on how to confront it, you know. You don't want a pastor, you want to be your pastor. So let's resolve this, either let me be your pastor, or you go serve God somewhere else, and be your own pastor, right? And so, but we're aware, right, work me through what their response could be based on past experience.
Have you had anybody like take you completely by surprise? Like, you did not expect them to act or respond this way and caught you off guard?
Sure, yeah, definitely, yep. And, but again, you develop this, you know? Like people skills you develop, like witnessing skills you develop, there is an art to confronting and dealing with things that you develop. And ministry presents plenty of opportunities to practice. Yep, Nathan.
Kind of speaking on the art of it, when you get people who are going to blow up or who have like are very manipulative, how do you as a pastor kind of control the situation and shape it and how you want it to go?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to, that comes back to your confidence in your identity, right? I've had people screaming, you know, and, you know, I can't believe it. I'm chill because I know what God said. I know the direction my leader has given me. I know who I am in Christ. So, yeah, I'm sorry, but you've got a problem with God. You need to work that out. You don't actually have a problem with me, right? So you can, it comes back to that identity, right? There's some guys, man, they get into screaming battles. I confronted a rebel head on, and just because of the circumstances, Pastor Greg said, you know, I'd gotten a hold of him, you know, and he said, you're going to have to make a decision. Either it's now or it's later, but I leave that up to you. And I felt like it was now. So I had some guys in place just to observe in case this person decided they want to get crazy. And but I was expecting a blow up, but just coming with the authority and the confidence in Christ, in God, it was a simple conversation and they left quiet. And so sometimes, yeah, you don't know, but you don't have to. If they go to a screaming match, you don't have to go there, right? And some of the people that saw it, some of them pastors, they said, they made a comment. They said, that was such a Pastor Greg move. Like, it was so calm. And I said, well, he told me what to do, so that's why. But yeah, you do it, you know, how he says. It works. That's true. Good.
Yeah. That scripture about delivering them to Satan, I don't really understand that. Like, can you expound on that a little bit and like how that helps people?
Yeah, so in that case, right, it's dealing with sexual immorality. So deliver them to Satan just means remove them. Remove them from the body, right? In the body there's covering. In the body there's protection, but they violated that by immorality. So I'm removing you so you recognize how destructive this is, right? That goes with false doctrine, that goes with immorality, that goes with rebellion. I'm removing you for a time. Yeah.
So you move someone out from under the covering.
Yeah.
Rules there, basically.
Right, right. Okay. And so then in that, why though? So you recognize, so you get your heart right. That's the point. We want you to be helped. It's not like, deliver them to Satan and hope you get some water down there, you know.
Yeah.
It's deliver them so that they come back. Yep.
When you take over a church, is there ever like a time where you're concerned about, I want to build credibility? Like, because you may come in and see things that need to change or whatever, but in your experience, did you try to, like, I'm going to give it a little bit of time, like the church, get to know the people in the church, or is it like, there are situations you have to deal with, like, right away,
yeah.
But then there's things you can be like, we'll deal with that soon.
Yeah, there are some things that have to be dealt with right away, you know. Pastor Greg has a joke, something about the, if the platforms, if the song leader is a cross-dresser, you know, you're going to have to deal with that. Real stories, you know. but there are some things that maybe you could give some time, you know. And that comes back to a little bit of the art and being in tune with God, you know. I took over a really complicated situation. And Pastor Greg recently made a statement to another pastor as I was sitting in this meeting, and he said, I dropped him, and he pointed at me, I dropped him in the middle of hell, and he was able to navigate it. You knew. but there was things to navigate, and there was some things that I knew immediately needed to be dealt with. That's just part of it. There were some other things. Okay, let's believe God on this one, you know? And that definitely would involve being in tune with your pastor, you know? There were some that I called Pastor Greg on in that situation that he'd say, I don't know. You're there. You're going to have to figure that one out. And he said in one situation, Jesse, when your choice in life is poison, choose the lesser poison. So sometimes it's just you got to navigate it. But staying in tune with your pastor, staying in tune with God, you know, and he'll guide you. Yeah. But some things, yes, would have to be done immediately.
As you're trying to, you know, navigate, like you talked about, like you're a detective at times and you're trying to gather information, how do you, like, are there times where you're just having to, not really your gut, but I mean, you're kind of like, you rely on your spirit, like God, you know, your spiritual discernment in a way? And,
yeah.
And you're like, okay, I believe God.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I've made decisions that in the moment it's like I feel that this is right. And it was right, you know? Situations where no, it's not time for that. Or no, I don't feel good about that. Don't maybe know all the reasons why, but then it comes out later. No, it was exactly what I felt. So you do develop a file, and again, that's as you develop the skill of it.
You don't have to necessarily feel like you're 100% right on everything. Correct?
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes, yep. And yeah, I wish I could tell you, but it's that wisdom and discernment thing Pastor Greg talks about. Yep, you got to develop that file, which is why when he says every day I pray for wisdom and discernment, he does. We do. You have to. So, yep. Yeah, Casey.
So if you have a non-confrontational personality, would you say that, like, you could apply this to witnessing? There's an element of confrontation, right? With witnessing. Like, could you develop that skill? Would that help?
Yeah, I mean, it just in the sense of you having a confidence, for sure. You know, in essence. You know, for lack of a better word that I can think of, but yeah, you're confronting someone about their sin, right? You're confronting them about their position with God, you know? So, but yeah, you would definitely develop that ability to a degree. I suppose it could be transferable. Devin?
So, I guess based on what you mentioned, how do you determine?
Well, there's some that are obvious, you know. Again, immorality, sexual immorality, fornication, adultery, those are the ones we remove. There's, you know, you have to work that through. Rebellion, you know, you're working that through. And so, yeah, there might be an element of timing in there, but it depends, you know, it depends. Broad question. Yeah. Matt?
Have you ever had a situation like you're talking about, you had guys in place in one situation where, okay, someone got crazy, you were ready for that, and then it surprised you, they went quietly. Obviously, in every situation, you're sort of probably hoping that they go quietly, but I can imagine after years and years of pastoring in different cities and situations, you can't, like, someone's going to make a scene and... have you ever had a situation where maybe someone was like, well, I'm not leaving, or like, maybe they did leave, but then they made a, you know, have you, like, maybe they know where your building is, they know when the services are, you go do an outreach, and maybe they, down the way, they try to make trouble for you, or they're talking to people about you, or whatever, and you have to deal with it again later down the road? Has that
absolutely
ever been? And if so, how do you navigate something like that?
Yeah, a big part of this is because it is spiritual, right? You're dealing with it. It's like, you don't like it here, you're not into what we're doing, just go. But they can't. Mm. It's demonic. And so, yeah, I removed a rebel and in one of the churches, and, you know, it was one of those things. Look, I'm removing you. This is long term, and it was one of those things, like, bizarre to me. When I removed them, they were kind of church hopping fellowship churches because it was closer areas. And when I took, folks found out that I was going to remove this person, some of the pastors, they said, well, tell them they're out of my church too, you know. Yes, I will do the hard work for you, you know. But I told them, I'm removing you, and I don't want to hear that you're speaking against, that you're still reaching in, because that was their MO. And sure enough, you know, they're reaching back in. No, I called, no, this just prolongs. You're not changing. I hear again, they're speaking again. Now there's no point to call them, right? They're not listening. They're reaching in. So, God, you deal with them. And Pastor Greg, I talked to him about it. He goes, Jesse, they didn't listen to you the first two times. Why would now, the third time, they listen to you? I said, that's what I'm wondering. I said, you need to pray. Pray that God judges them and that they know why they're being judged. So I did, and they developed a thyroid condition that hindered them from speaking. It damaged their vocal cords. Then they developed a tumor the size of a melon that they had to have surgery on that put them out for about 3 months bedridden. Guess what? No more talking. They can't even move around. Now, that's not to say that's going to happen every time, but God, you deal with them. I give it to you, right? So that's one extreme example there, but that would be one that did that. So, yeah.
So essentially, it's you sort of have to give it up
at some
certain point.
Yeah, to God. Give it to God. God, you deal with it. You see. You know. You can handle it. Mm. So, yep.
You don't have any in-house assassin or anything?
Nothing like that. No blow dogs.
So coming in a church this size and traveling, you know, and preaching all over, you have to see so many things that you recognize are off, out of place, and are not right. And but you can't spend your entire time being in conflict and working all these things out. Do you sometimes feel like I'm powerless to do anything about this because it's not really my area? And so,
are you talking about in other churches?
Yeah, in other churches, and even here. I mean, is there things like you've just been like uncomfortable to bring up to people, or how do you?
I guess I'm not fully tracking your question.
Okay, so obviously, you know, other churches, you just say, not my money.
Exactly. Yeah. No.
Even if it's destroying all kinds of people, you just.
Yeah, I mean, we've had people call, you know, and I've even heard stories. The guys call, it's like, Pastor, this church in this area is doing, and he goes, and I didn't send you to go fix everyone around you. I sent you to build a church. You build your church, right? So there's that. I mean, and then, you know, sometimes there are, you know, the pastors, you know, completely immoral, right? Call their area pastor, call their pastor, you know. But after that, it's not up to you to resolve. Yep. So don't go around and, hey, this needs to change. Hey, that person is, you know, that's not my job. Yep.
So in dealing with conflict, if someone comes into your church and you catch wind that they were either kicked out of another church or there was like some issue and you're like, you ever call that pastor?
Yeah.
Like, hey, give me back sermon.
You're talking definitely in fellowship, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely, if they're coming in and you catch one, absolutely call their previous pastor. What's going on? This person showed up. You know, are you aware of it? And they say, yeah, I sent them to you. Well, that's not going to work. But no, they were removed because, okay, now I'm talking to you because I spoke with your pastor. You know, that's not going to work. You don't get to leave one fellowship church and come here while you're out of that one. Yep, definitely. Very good. All right. Well, with that, gentlemen, I'm telling you, if you can develop this, it will help you greatly in your ministry. Like I said, some men, they'll struggle unnecessarily by leaving these things in place.